This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Rational thought process that I have with both these teams, where I'm shocked that the Yankees have lost the first two games of the series in Texas. I didn't overreact to getting swept by the Marlins. It's more about a lack of culture there to me that is a bigger picture issue. But I felt that they had a culture issue last year as well. Like, this has been going on for a long time, and they still made the World Series. So it was never about the results necessarily, although the last two games, very disheartening here. And if they mess around today and get swept in Texas, now they'll be leapfrogged by them and find themselves on the outside of the postseason playoff picture. But to me, I still believe that the Yankees have enough to get it figured out, especially with Aaron Judge. And we'll keep our eyes on what's going on with Judge and playing catch. That was supposed to be today, which could be indicative of when he comes back into the lineup, which would, meaning in the outfield, which would help get Giancarlo in there as well. And he's been on a tear. So, baseball, the season's the way that we've seen it in recent years. Where who would have ever thought that the Mets would be a playoff team last year? Not me. I mean, I thought the Mets were left for dead early on, right out of the gate. 0-5, I never thought they'd see 500 again. Now, they barely made it, sure, but still, we've seen teams play poorly for prolonged stretches and still able to turn it around and get in the postseason and do some damage. And last year, I didn't think the Yankees were any good. They get in the postseason and they go on a run. So I'm not, just because it's bad right now for the Mets, who have lost 7 of 8, and it feels like things are slipping away. They're 2.5 games back of the Phillies, or even with the Yankees, it feels like right now, the playoff spot's slipping away. I don't think it's as bad for either team as it seems right now. Go back a week ago, or even 2 weeks ago with the Yankees. It was like, they stink. The Yankees aren't any good. They should sell. And then they go out there and pound the Mariners into oblivion, a good team that likely would be a playoff team, or at least has the chance to be a playoff team. And they pound them, and they look like world beaters again. Okay, and then it goes the other way. So it just takes one game sometimes to get things going in the right direction. I really do think that there's been a bit of a hangover with the Yankees, in particular with that Friday night loss. With the Mets, they got swept in San Diego after sweeping the Giants. They were on a heater just a week ago, coming off a heater, and, winning, what was it, 7 in a row, and now they've lost 7 of the next 8. So there were extreme inconsistencies with both these teams, but that makes me think that there's going to be a much better stretch coming over the next week or 2 weeks. Now, the issue is that the games on the calendar are starting to come off, right? There's 48, 49 games, whatever it is, for each team left, and they're both falling further back in their standings. And that can't happen. With the fewer games remaining, you want to be gaining ground and pulling away from teams. I expect the Mets to come down with the Phillies down to the wire in the NL East. I don't think they're going to fall apart now. Who knows? Anything could happen. But I expect the Mets to battle starting today, led by David Peterson. A little lineup change for you as well, with Mendy going back to Lindor in the leadoff spot and moving Soto up to the two hole. I mean, he's changed the lineup how many times this year? So, to the point before, we had Mendy on, in case you missed it, check him out on the free Odyssey app, where you guys just sitting back and, letting these guys go at it and trusting them or not. And he said, no, we're active here. So Lindor is being moved to the leadoff spot, with Soto being moved to number two, Alonso up to three, and Nimmo now will clean up and hit behind those guys. Same four, same top four in that order, just a different order, which we've seen early. This is the way that it started out the season. So Mendy going back to that maybe for this final stretch to try to get things going here. But Mets offense has been inconsistent all year long. And if it doesn't perform well, they're not going to win. I mean, it's pretty simple. We could yell and scream and say, hey, they need this, they need that, they need pitching, they need this. All the pieces are in place. Now it's just that these guys got to do their job. The bullpen guys will do their job. I even think the starters will do their job eventually with some help from one of the guys from the minors, McLean, whatever. Probably McLean over Sproat, but Sproat too, either one, maybe both. I think the pitching will be okay. It's the offense, the inconsistency of the offense that has been surprising and disappointing. And the same thing with the Yankees. Like the Yankees right now, everything is magnified with every move Boone makes, every pitch Williams throws, because the offense isn't doing enough, certainly the last two games. I mean, we'll go back to the game against the Marlins that Friday night. They scored a ton of runs. That was on the pitching. Hey, that's sometimes what teams that are going through funks do. You're pitching well, you can't hit. You hit well, you can't pitch. That happens, and it's happened far too often, far too long with the Yankees since June 13th. But I still, in my heart, believe that they're far better than what they've been here. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. I just feel like, you know, remember, Judge has been out for 10 days. That's a big part of it, too. We know what the Yankees' success or lack thereof has been without Aaron Judge. So all of a sudden, Judge back in the lineup can make things look different. Judge back in right field can really make things look different with Giancarlo Stanton. Point is, we've seen these teams have enough to, at the very least, be playoff teams. And then in the playoffs, anything can happen. And we've seen stretches where both teams have performed poorly. And then the next series, they go out there and look great. And it feels good again. You remember how good and how dangerous the Yankees offense can be. Fried's got to get back to being what he was. Obviously, you have some issues with the starting rotation, but the bullpen, even with Williams imploding here as of late, it's still going to be better than what it was a week ago, ahead of the trade, you know, before the trade deadline. Don't give up yet. That's the message. Don't give up just yet on either of these two teams. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Nick is calling from St. Augustine, Florida about the Mets. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, Sal?
How are you?
Hey, two things. One, with the trade deadline, they needed a bat. Look at Suarez hitting a home run off Miller last night. They should have went and got Suarez. They should have kept maybe Mauricio, gotten rid of some of the third basemen. And another thing is the lineup. It's always different. And I was going to say this before I found out Lindor moved back to the first spot, but why can't we just put Mauricio in, pick the guys that you think are the best, and just go with it? And just use the DH maybe to move around the lineup a little bit, but have Mauricio at third. Get a consistent lineup. Mendoza's falling into the same trap the Yankees. Always consistently going by the numbers, changing guys every day. No one's getting a rhythm. These guys get some hits. Even Marte, he was one of the hottest hitters. He never gets in the lineup, and then he gets in the lineup, he's out of the lineup. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
I can't hit.
They're playing matchups, Nick, which maybe is not the right thing to do. They go based off of the numbers sometimes and play matchups, especially when you have guys that aren't performing. And thank you for the call. I understand the frustration. If Marte was consistent, he'd be in there all the time. He's not. And by the way, you have, you know, Vientos DHing today. If Vientos was consistent, we wouldn't even be talking about it. Vientos would be right there being the five hitter that he was supposed to be. I think Mendy today with the lineup, when you look at what he's done, Lindor back to the leadoff spot, Soto back in the two hole, Alonso three. Now, the fact that Mendy has the guts to move Soto again, you know, that's something we've always heard. Soto likes, he's a creature of habit, likes being in the same spot, but he's not getting the job done. You know what? Mendy's going to say, hey, we got to move you. Good for him. Not placating to the players and every one of their demands or whatever little issues they may have. Move Lindor back to the leadoff spot, Soto back to two, Alonso three, Nimmo four. That's how they drew it up to start the year. Vientos behind them five, McNeil six. That's a, you know, Mullen seven. That's a pretty good lineup, or pretty good looking lineup on paper, as I look at it on paper. Now, in reality, in reality, it hasn't been as good. But at least I could see he's thinking, man, the offense is struggling here. It's been struggling for a month. Time to shake it up again. Whether that's going to work or not, who knows? But he shuffled the lineup a couple of different times. And I would bet that this lineup would be the lineup that you're going to see more often than not the rest of the way, because this was supposed to be the lineup coming in into the year. Get the pieces in place. Try to stick with that as consistently as possible. No Alvarez today. You got Torrens day game after a night game, so you can understand that. I don't love Beatty at third base. I'd rather have Mauricio. I'm not sure why Mauricio isn't in there We asked him before. I told him I like Mauricio's defense at third. Maybe he's just trying to get Beatty some more playing time there. It's hard to have, to your point, Nick, it's hard to have guys get consistent reps when you have three of them, which is part of the reason why I was disappointed at the trade deadline. They didn't clean it up. They still have McNeil. Now, I know Acuna's not on the roster, but, you know, as far as being an infield piece, McNeil, Acuna was there, Beatty, Vientos, Mauricio. You know, they still have, it's hard. Like, Beatty's not the everyday third baseman, so now he's going to play second base, he'll play a little third, maybe DH a little bit. Same thing with Vientos. And I think when you see them defensively, you see that it doesn't look like players who are comfortable. Hard to be comfortable if you're not there every day. The chicken and the egg type stuff. Artie's in Rockland. What's up, Artie?
Hey, how you doing there?
Good.
Listen, I got a couple of things I want to say. You know, everybody made such a big stink about Wells and Jazz, those brain farts on the base pass. You know, if they didn't make those brain farts, you know what would have happened? Man on second, two out. Man on first, two out. They wouldn't have scored anyway. We don't bring people in. And to make such a big deal for 2 days, 3 days, talking about how that's why we don't win, that's why we don't win. A couple of minutes ago, you just said the real reason we don't win, we're feast of famine with the bats. And more often than not, Sal, it's been famine. And also, we don't know how to close out games with our bullpen. Why highlight stupidity on the base paths? That's not the reason we lose. And I want to say one other thing.
Well, it is part of it. It's bad baseball. Yeah. I'm not saying that, you're right. Guarantee, like, let's say Jazz didn't get doubled off there. I mean, who's to say somebody wouldn't hit a two-run homer? Who's to say somebody wouldn't have struck out?
They don't do that.
All right, well, you know, I know, but it's still not acceptable. It shouldn't just be, they won't going to score anyway, so it's not a big deal.
One last thing I want to say to you. I'm a tough Bronx guy. I'm 75 years old. I grew up in the South Bronx, and I am a man. You're a man, too. I get seasick and airsick all the time. That doesn't mean you're not a man. It's the inner ear, buddy. Yeah. It's your inner ear. You're either born with it or you're not born. I got it from my mother. My son gets it. It's hereditary. So don't consider yourself not a man.
Artie, thank you. Thank you for reminding me that I am, in fact, a man. I joke around about it. And by the way, it wasn't the ear issue or seasick with me. It's that I'm afraid. I don't want to go in there. I'm afraid of heights. We joke around about that, and I think it's funny to say, like, oh, I'm not enough of a man to go on these rides or whatever, but I really do believe that being a true man is being comfortable with yourself regardless, being open about whatever weaknesses you feel like you may have or open about feelings about certain things, open to admit that. To me, that's what a real man is, not, look at me, I'm tough, I go on these big, bad rides. Like, whatever, to each their own, but for me, I just joke around about it. I know I'm a real man. But I'm afraid of those rides. And even though I feel like I'm a real man and know I'm a real man, my ex-girlfriend didn't. She needed more of a man. I wasn't man enough for her. But don't you think, all these years later, me sitting here today or on TV, that she doesn't have regrets? I guarantee you she does. I know she's following along on that Instagram. Woo-wee! Victory! Sweet revenge. Come on, Hoff. Like, you wouldn't want to take a victory lap with that? You know, the exes who didn't think you were good enough or didn't believe in you. Prove them wrong, you know what I mean? Chip on my shoulder. That's right, I played with the chip on my shoulder my whole life. Said I couldn't do it. Here I am. You doubted me. Wasn't man enough for you. Well, how about now? Look at me now. Michael is calling from St. Cloud, Florida. What's up, Michael? I got this.
Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, this offense not performing with runners in scoring position and being underperforming has kind of been an issue, not just for this year, but it was an issue for last year, especially in the NLCS. Kind of an issue in 2022, too, as well. Is this hitting coach, Eric Chavez, should they fire him, or is it?
I mean, let me ask you, do you really think that that's going to make a difference, firing the hitting coach?
I mean, that's what I was thinking, too, but, like, I was watching the game last night, and if I see one more of these hitters take a fastball right there for strike three,
yeah,
I'm going to
lose. Soto did it last night, man. I couldn't believe that he did that.
Soto and Nimmo, too.
Yeah, well, Nimmo's been lost. Look, they shook up the lineup today. To answer your question flat out, Michael, I don't believe that it's the hitting coach. If they were to make a change after the season, I wouldn't scream about it. I don't care. If they don't make a change, I wouldn't scream about it. I don't care. I care about the hitters that they have in the lineup. So we could talk about that, and thank you for the call. I know fans get nuts about that stuff. Fire the hitting coach. Fire the third base coach. Fire the pitching coach. Like, I don't know. For me, and I'm not saying I'm above that. Of course, I've done that before. If I really felt like somebody was the problem, even with Boone, Evan yesterday said that he would fire Boone to shake things up. I mean, I understand that thought process. I think it's flawed in this particular case. The same way that I said to BT ahead of the trade deadline, if the Yankees add a bullpen arm or two, do you really think it changes everything? Do you really think it makes them that much better? The answer should have been no. I forget exactly what we're talking about. We're probably fighting back and forth about that. But, oh, yeah, why wouldn't you do it? Yeah, no, I know it makes you a little bit better. Understood. Like, I'm not an idiot. I get that. They have no bullpen, so adding a bullpen arm, adding two bullpen arms should make you better. They added three. One of them's no longer here. Yeah, they had the right arms as well. It's not just adding an arm. It's adding the right arms, which they also were reluctant to do because they didn't really truly fully believe in this team. So they were soft buyers, which to me, halfway is no good. But anyway, yeah, okay, it should help their bullpen. Adding Bednar, having Dovault should help their bullpen. But I don't think it's going to fix the real issues that the Yankees have.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So the same thing, like, you fire Boone. Is that going to really change anything? The answer to me is no. I think it could make things worse right now. I'm talking about in season right now. If you're talking about an organizational change, that's something different. At the end of the year, once and for all, finally decide to move on. Change is good sometimes just for the sake of change. Sometimes, especially in sports. And if I would have done that in 2021, I certainly would do that in 2025 in accordance with the results. It wouldn't just be results-based, but based on what I'm watching, lack of player development, lack of fundamentals, lack of them holding anybody accountable within the year. Like, there's a lot of reasons for it. But I don't think it's just a fire Boone, everything fixed. So they'll be better. Like, that's, to me, that's foolish. Or in this particular case, firing Chavez. No, what's that going to do? Firing Chavez going to wake Juan Soto up? Come on. Tony is calling from Orlando, Florida. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Sal. Good show. Appreciate it. I'm a distant Mets fan living here in Florida. Love it here. Just a couple of things, you know. I don't know if you noticed, but Mendy is starting to sound a lot like Boone now as we get into this part of the season. You know, we need to do better. We need to be more consistent, blah, 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 blah. We need this. We need that. You know, the bottom line is Soto and Lindor have about the same average right now, which is below 250. Look out, Tony Gwynn, okay? Two great hitters. They have about 60 RBIs each, and Lindor's probably a better asset because of his defense. But here's the thing. I give the Mets about a 15% chance of going to the World Series. I give the Yankees about a 15% chance of going to the World Series. You know why? Because there's five other teams in each league that can just as easily get to the World Series as the Mets or the Yankees, okay? There's no way you could tell me the Padres have less of a chance to get to the series.
But who cares about that? You just care about having a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Well, I thought we'd have better than a 15% chance.
Oh, but that's 15% is your math, Tony.
Well, you prove me wrong. Who are the Mets so much significantly better than in the National League? Are they better than the Dodgers? No.
Forget about World Series. Right now, it should be about getting to the playoffs,
which is pretty sad.
No, it's not. I don't think that's sad.
No, it is sad. It is sad.
I don't think it's sad. I think both teams want to win a World Series. I don't think it's sad. I think you got to get to the playoffs.
The Yankees went to the World Series last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Mets haven't gone in 10 years. Okay.
Okay. I'm not sure your point though.
My point is that what are we supposed to do? Hope that the Mets get to the World, you know.
No, Tony, they built a team that, regardless of your percentages, they built a team that I feel comfortable with that has a good chance to go to the World Series. Doesn't mean that they're going to go to the World Series. I believe the Mets got better after last year, in a year where they went on a run of the postseason and got to the NLCS. I believe that the Yankees got worse after losing Juan Soto. I'm on record saying that. I like the other additions, but I didn't think it was a good thing losing Juan Soto. And obviously, they've fallen apart here. Now, I still think, even with that being said, both teams, like, do I think that they're the favorites to go to the World Series? Absolutely not. No. Neither team is a favorite to go to the World Series. But just because you're a favorite doesn't mean you're going to go. Were the Mets favored to be better than the Phillies last year? They beat them in the postseason. You know, like, things happen. The Phillies the year before, the Diamondbacks before that. I do think the American League also got a little bit more challenging, whether it being the Astros or certainly the Tigers. Now, we'll see. Maybe the Yankees. I don't think the Blue Jays are better than the Yanks. I know it's hard to say that after what happened head-to-head and where they're at in the standings right now, but I still believe, could be proven wrong here, I still believe that the Yankees still have enough, even with all their flaws, to overcome the deficit right now in their division. Still believe that. But at some point, they got to start playing well. Gotten to know Zach a little bit and think you have a fantastic, interesting perspective from a former GM's perspective. Figured to have you on here and have some fun talking about both these two teams. How are you, Zach?
I'm good. Thanks for having me,
Sam. All right, so you want to get into the hard stuff first?
Whenever you want to. Why did you trade
Pete Crow Armstrong? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, he'd fit pretty well right now.
Yes, he would.
I'm sure people are not happy to hear me say that. But I've grew up learning from people like Theo Epstein, Dave Dombrowski, you know, future Hall of Fame executives, that you kind of figure out who are your core prospects that you think are going to be huge parts of your kind of future, your next great team that you want to build. Everyone wants to build a sustainable winner. And, you know, obviously, incorrectly, he wasn't one of those guys at the time. And a lot of the guys that were are guys that are in the big leagues now. And some of them have disappointed. Some of them have been okay. But yeah, we had him, and quite honestly, so did the industry, had him probably as like our fifth, sixth, seventh best prospect at the time, and what wasn't a deep system. It's fairly top heavy with Alvarez being number one at the time.
And this is your first year there, right?
This is 2021. Yeah, okay, right. Came on first as assistant GM and then slid into
the same year, right? And then Porter got in trouble, you slid up there.
Yeah, slid into that seat. And Pete, you know, he had been the first round pick the year before. Loved the defense, loved the speed. You know, we had some questions about the swing. The offense did not see this power coming, and I think that's the biggest thing that, and good for him, that's allowed him to go from, you know, not even being considered a top 100 prospect at that time, to then pretty quickly becoming, you know, a top 20 prospect in the game, and now you see, you know, 4 years after that,
he's an MVP candidate.
He's an all-star and having a great year, and he's a great all-around player. And the biggest thing is, you know, we thought he was could be a solid big leaguer, like a high floor because of the defense, and you know, he's going to get an opportunity because of the defense and speed. Love the makeup too. This kid's great. He would have been great for this market. But, you know, the power, didn't see the power there, so thought like that was someone that, you know, had a more limited upside than he actually did.
And did they want somebody else? Like, did you value holding on to the pitching prospects more so than even a center fielder, which I know is valuable in the game, but in accordance with a pitcher, what were the Cubs looking for in that particular deal?
Yeah, I mean, their focus was really on Matt Allen, and obviously in hindsight, that would have been the player that made more sense to move. At the time, you know, one of the tricky things about coming from the Red Sox to the Mets was just, you know, different perspectives. So at the Red Sox, you know, we didn't have high opinions on Pete Crow Armstrong or Matt Allen in the draft. So I kind of came into it with, like, not that they weren't good players, but just didn't think they were going to be impact players. So I wasn't too high on either one of them. The organization, obviously, they drafted them. People in the organization love those guys. But yeah, definitely Matt Allen was kind of the guy that people had significantly ahead. To me, I typically do like to prefer to trade pitchers because there's so much more injury risk. But sometimes that's how, you know, in Boston, we got into trouble by almost like undervaluing pitching prospects because they're so volatile. We were really good at developing position players, but struggled for a while. We wouldn't even draft pitchers until, you know, the fourth round. And so we weren't really producing a lot of pitching from internally. So I was going into my Mets experience thinking that and wanting to make sure we still had some good pitchers. And people loved Matt Allen. I mean, I think people were jokingly kind of saying, you know, you trade him, we're walking out here.
Wow.
Not really seriously, well, okay, but you know what I mean.
And then the other thing about that, not to belabor the point here, but it's an inside look here that I think is a great perspective that you can provide here. Outside of this year's trade deadline, the 2021 deadline, when you made that trade for Baez, that was the most aggressive that the Mets have been in the last several years, going out to getting Baez. How about the thought process behind new owner taking over, feeling pressure to try to win now and be aggressive ahead of that trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was Steve's first year as the owner. He, you know, his first press conference said, you know, we want to win a World Series in 3 to 5 years. I thought that we had a really good core of players. So it was more likely we were going to do that on the early end and more unknown on the back end of that 3 to 5 years. So, you know, we wanted to be aggressive. I think people forget we were actually in first place at the time,
yeah,
at the deadline before things really fell apart. We had a ton of injuries leading up to that. So there was, you know, we thought we'd get some guys back that we'd be able to continue. The division was just pretty weak at that point. It's pretty mediocre. The Braves didn't become the Braves until the second half of that and be as good as they were for a few years. So, yeah, we thought we knew there were some flaws with the team, but we had a really good core of players. A lot of the offensive players underperformed. But we thought, you know, let's be aggressive. And Steve definitely wanted to be aggressive. And that's why we went out and got players that we thought would make an impact. And the players we got all performed very well. But obviously from things fell apart. DeGrom got hurt like immediately on trade deadline day.
Right.
You know, we didn't know the extent of it that day because he had been kind of in and out, walking off the mound a few times that year already. And so we weren't sure if it was serious or not. And so the timing's kind of tough because you got to make a call without knowing.
How impactful, BT and Sal, by the way, on the Fan, BT on Vacation, Zach Scott in studio, how impactful do you think that move was as far as the next year, where in 2022 the Mets had a much better team? You weren't there. I know Billy Epler was there, but it seemed like they were reserved. Maybe Cohen didn't want to part with the prospects as much. How much do you think was because of the Baez trade?
I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't there, and I have no knowledge, but it seemed that way from the outside looking in. It seemed like they were gun-shy, right? Like
Cohen aggressive in 2021? Like, was he just sitting back letting you guys go to work?
Well, he was letting us do the work, but, you know, it was clear.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We wanted to be aggressive. You know, it's still my job in baseball operations. It's our job to, you know, make the right moves within that, you know, knowing that's the kind of the mandate. So, you know, he's not saying we should trade this guy or that guy. That's not the level of involvement. But it was clear, like, yeah, you know, we had made a small deal for Rich Hill, and it was pretty clear, like, we're not just trading for Rich Hill at the trade deadline. We're going to do something impactful.
Were you guys ever at that point thinking extension with DeGrom and or Alonso back when you were there in 2021? I know it's early on, like, yeah. Alonso was a rookie in 2019. Did that conversation ever come up?
So, not with Alonso. I mean, we did some internal work. We did internal work on everybody. Like, what does a Nimmo extension look like? What does, you know, but as far as conversations with the agent on the other side, we had a conversation with Conforto in spring training, made a significant offer to him. Very fortunate that they turned it down.
Yeah, dude, he turned it down.
I mean, he's a Scott Boras client. Scott rarely signs an extension before free agency. I think he wants to get guys to free agency, which usually benefits.
You wanted that, or was that more Alderson?
No, I actually came in really liking Michael. He performed really well for the previous couple of years. He was the right age. You know, he's, you know, good quality makeup person in the clubhouse. So, yeah, I thought that made sense. But we knew our offer was not going to be. It wasn't like we made an offer to say we made an offer, but we knew, you know, how Scott operates, that this wasn't going to get it done. So, you know, in hindsight, he may end up making it up or close to it over time, just doing it with a bunch of different contracts. I don't know. He's had a tough go. He's been up and down, and obviously the health was an issue. So, you know, it was him. We were focused on him and Lindor, and obviously got the Lindor deal done. And then, you know, DeGrom, I did have a conversation with his agent. They actually made an offer to us for an extension, which was really not something we were considering. It was essentially what he ended up getting in free agency, so good for them for being able to get it. But given his age and some potential health concerns or some unknowns, at least, we didn't really engage once we got that. We said, you know, I think I countered by saying, here's a concept of something we may consider, but it was just a big gap. So
where are you at with investing in starting pitching overall? We've seen it both aspects here with the Yankees going big on it, whether it's Cole, whether it's Fried, even Rodon. Stearns not going as big, looking more of a bargain there, trying to find some quality in lesser performers and being more cost effective. What would you recommend as a GM?
I mean, pitching's tough. I you know, when you're dealing with free agents, they're usually 30 or older. And those guys, you know, they can fall off a cliff. You know, elite pitchers do age a little bit better typically, but that's partly because they're coming from a higher place, right? But so I typically like to do shorter deals with pitchers That was a lot of what we tried to do in Boston some years. But we also went big. We went big on, you know, David Price there. And that is an example of one that we won the World Series. So you can say it worked out, and he was a big part of why we won the World Series in 2018. But the contract, when you look at it by itself, was obviously a bad long-term investment. And they mostly are. You know, when we were working on the Price thing, my role was to lead the analytics group. We were doing some research on it and basically concluded that there's like a 30% chance that this is a fair deal. 70% chance that, you know, it's underwater.
So most of them are that anyway, but you still have to know that going in.
Yeah, I mean, and I think when that's the luxury you have as a big market team. You know, we did a John Lackey deal. It was pretty long with the Red Sox. At first, it looked like a disaster. Then he had TJ. And then he came back, and he was great for us and helped us win a World Series in 2013. So it's tough because you want impact pitchers. Ideally, you're developing them yourself or acquiring them via trade, like we did with Chris Sale, like the Red Sox just did with Garrett Crochet. I think that's the way to go, is to try to – you want guys in their 20s. I mean, that's – pitchers peak even earlier than position players because of the health concerns. So it's hard. But when you're a big market team, you can afford to take bigger gambles as long as the rest of your roster makes sense. So for example, David Price – that year, we had a really young core of players with Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley and Andrew Benintendi. And those guys were making, because of the structure of the first 6 years of the system, they're making a lot less than what they're producing. So you can balance out what you expect to be a significant overpay in an older free agent. You hope you get that impact up front. But you can balance that out because you have guys that are, you know, quote-unquote underpaid. Because of the way the system works. So you have Mookie Betts getting paid, you know, producing twice as much value or more than what he's getting paid. So you kind of have to have that balance. Where it gets risky, and I think the Yankees are kind of an example of this, is when you start paying multiple guys these big deals, and now you have a lot of guys in their 30s, and does it all kind of come to a head where you've just killed your flexibility? And financial flexibility is a huge thing, even for big market teams, because big market teams just tend to spend more. So, you know, you're still limiting your flexibility, whatever your budget is. So having a bunch of guys that can't pitch for you because they're injured, because they're all, you know, 34 or at some point, that's highly risky. And they've done it a few times with some big long-term deals. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
BT and Sal in studio here with Zach Scott, former general manager of the Mets. One thing that I liked about you in your short time with the Mets is that I felt like you held guys accountable. You weren't afraid to say what was on your mind. Maybe there were some repercussions of that we could get into. But you see the Yankees, like, for me, it's a culture issue, lack of accountability that probably starts from the top on down. What are you seeing from a GM perspective? What's going on with the Yankees?
Well, first of all, I have so much respect for Brian Cashman. I know from living around here the last 4 years, there's a lot of people that complain about Cash. But someone that's worked in the industry, to have the level of success, and I know in New York, if you don't win a World Series, it's kind of seen differently. But to never have a losing season, right? Like, I don't think he ever has.
No, they've been on a sustained
run. And he's been there like almost 30 years. Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. So I think people that have been in roles like myself in the industry just have so much respect for Cash because of that's the hardest thing to do. Even with that payroll, because their advantage early on was much bigger, and now it's kind of
right.
It's shrunk because more teams have been able or have, for whatever reason, been investing more. So
right, but then they haven't had as much success as they did early on.
And that makes it harder because they didn't, as those teams started spending more, they didn't necessarily go up to some huge level to separate again like they used to be separated from the pack 20 years ago. So that's the first thing I'll say. But I will say, you know, one of the interesting observations since being out of the daily grind of baseball and doing, you know, being kind of in and out of it through consulting now, is observing the way the teams have carried themselves. And, you know, I think going back to when Cash had, I think it was the GM meetings where he kind of
went off on
the media and was
defending
dropping F-bombs and things like that, which I loved. It was fun and entertaining, and it's good to see that sometimes. But he's one of the few guys that could do that. But I think ever since then, and some of the things, and I don't know Aaron Boone. I have a lot of respect for him, and I know people who love him. So you know, I do think highly of him. But I will say some of the public rhetoric from these guys has been a little defensive, I guess is the word that comes to mind, or just kind of playing things off. And I'm sure that's more just outwardly and not necessarily representative of the conversations inwardly, but they some at some point, like they're a little related. So as to your point, you know, the year I was there, Steve definitely, you know, he called the team out on Twitter at least once. You know, I did a little bit, and like you said, there were some repercussions. I probably said a little too much.
Players took issue with you, or was it upper management?
Well, no, players, because, you know, there was one time I was asked a question. We had so many injuries that year, and someone, I think, you know, the Mets history, there's a lot of bashing of trainers and medical staff and their history, and a lot of the people that were there were really good at what they do, and they weren't the same people, so it seemed unfair to be taking shots at them. So when I was asked about the training staff, like, do you think this is a problem with them and not? And I said, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into injuries. And I listed trainers, strength and conditioning. I listed all these things. And when I said, you know, players also, you can set plans for players, but they got to stick to it. And I didn't mean that as our players are, you know, not doing what they're supposed to do. But at times, yeah, there are lapses in that. There's always been that. And every team I've been with, is not every guy follows everything perfectly. They have other people in their ear sometimes that aren't associated with the team telling them to do different things. And so there were a couple instances where guys, you know, we had a bunch of soft tissue injuries, a lot of dehydration that year. And it was like, those are preventable. So there was a little frustration that, yeah, that's part of it. It's like, guys, you got to show up for treatment. You got to get, you know, hit the massage table. If you're having these issues, you got to make sure you're hydrated. And some guys had some issues that year. So that was one of like 10 things I listed. As soon as I said it, I knew, well, that's the one thing people are going to jump on because it's about the players. Immediately after that media availability, I went down to the clubhouse to talk to Louis Rojas, who's the manager at the time, and said, hey, I need to get ahead of this because I'm sure some guys aren't going to be happy with it because it gets relayed, this game of telephone, they may misinterpret what I meant. So I explained. We had a leadership group that we kind of picked guys that represented, you know, the bullpen, the rotation, the infield, a catcher, an outfielder. And I got that group together and just kind of explained, you know, why I said this and what I meant. And I just didn't want it to get twisted. And they were like, they had already known about it. That's how fast it traveled from the time to go from the media room to the clubhouse. And I think it was good that we could kind of just clear the air. I'm sure some guys were still kind of annoyed because we weren't playing well. And that's what happens at the time is people are going to get a little sensitive and frustrated sometimes.
And I myself like the honesty from you there. Right. What happened? Obviously, we heard about, you know, why you were let go from the Mets. Because I've heard your story off the air, which didn't match what I was listening to or reading about publicly. You want to share your story about what happened and why you're no longer with the Mets as a general manager?
Sure. Well, you know, obviously what was reported publicly was that I was arrested for DWI late in the morning. And you know, what happened was I put myself in bad circumstances, the wrong place at the wrong time. I was not driving while intoxicated, so it was good to be acquitted of that. But I was driving tired, you know, going out for late. I still don't go to bed till like 1 or 2 in the morning now. So going out for kind of late night food, which is really my vice, is overeating.
What were we talking, like Taco Bell? Where were we at?
More of a local place in White Plains. But so, you know, was trying to figure out, I was new to the area, trying to figure out how to get back, and was pulled over on the side of the road. The report was, you know, I was passed out at the wheel. And, you know, the easy part of it was going to trial. You know, I would have pled down just to get it over with. So it would be less of a distraction for the Mets. We can kind of move on. But I also didn't want to have to wear any kind of charge because I didn't think it was justified. So I was not asleep at the wheel. There's body cam footage that was the whole case that shows they knock on the window. I'm alert. I'm looking down at my phone. So maybe they thought that I was asleep because I'm trying to figure out, you know, where to go. But the judge said all this. I didn't have to take the stand and say all this. But the judge saw the video and said, why are you saying he's passed out at the, you know, police officer said that on the stand. And he's like, I saw the video. He's not. He's alert as soon as you knock on the window. And, you know, I performed a field sobriety test and performed it very well. And they still failed me and arrested me. And that's the other thing that the judge said was, he actually said, I challenge everyone in this courtroom to perform a field sobriety test right now better than this, because, you know, you wouldn't. Many of you wouldn't, and you're all sober. So that felt good, more what he was saying, because I knew the truth, but you just kind of have to wear it when it happens. You know, we live in a society where when people get arrested, their lawyers tell them don't talk about it publicly, right? But the police don't. They just put out their version of the story. And so everyone has that version of the story, which is just the way it works. I don't blame the police officers, because I put myself in a situation where they may have thought that. So I understood the circumstances, why it seems suspicious to them. But they got it wrong. They did not offer me a breathalyzer at the time. They eventually did at the station. I actually said I was scared. I've never had a problem with the law. I said no. They have to ask you twice. I said yes the second time. And this is all on video too. And the guy was like, wait a minute, you just changed. And I was like, yeah. I was freaked out because I thought I did well enough field sobriety test, and then they arrested me anyway. And so the third time I said, you know what, no. Because, you know, this, I had had alcohol hours earlier. I had had a drink, but not a lot. And felt, which, you know, so I shouldn't be driving anyway with any alcohol, right?
Right.
But I probably, you know, my lawyers told me after the fact, we always tell people at the time that they should refuse a breathalyzer if they've had anything to drink. I think part of that is because they assume people probably had more than what they tell them. When they saw the video, they said, you should have taken the breathalyzer because it's clear that you're not intoxicated. So, you know, that was that situation. And then it was in limbo for a long time. And I wanted the Mets to see the video, and I was willing to have them see all the evidence so they can make a determination for themselves about appropriate or inappropriate behavior. I know it was a bad look, the circumstances that happened with Jared before that.
Yeah, that's
Callaway.
The problem. It was
I mean, I screwed up. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Not even that you screwed up, because like you said, you have been vindicated by the video, by the judge, all that stuff. But where the Mets were at, unfortunately, at the time, it was basically a zero tolerance policy because of new owner, because of Porter, because of what's gone on before that. And now you're in the news, and whether you like it or not, and it's unfortunate the world that we live in, Zach Scott, DUI, like that's the thing that people hang on to.
That's it. You Google me, that's going to come up. You know, like, so, you know, the video never leaked, which is interesting that a video, and most of the time those videos leak because people look like they're intoxicated, but this one didn't, because it would have been clear that I wasn't. But, you know, the interesting thing was, I was on leave, and then I didn't get fired till November, and they actually asked me to come back as general manager. So we had a couple days of conversations about that. I was starting to do some work in that capacity to make some decisions on qualifying offers for a couple players and, you know, some other potential contract extensions. And then out of the blue, you know, hours after talking to someone about some work I was doing for them, I get a call saying I was terminated. And I never really knew why, because we had worked through that. There's some article that came out saying that there was some contentious meeting that actually never happened. So that was weird. But yeah, I mean, I thought I was coming back. It was disappointing, but you know, I'm okay. I've made my peace with moving on from it. The Mets are in a good place, so it's all good now.
Yeah, I just thought it was important for you to tell the true story, because a lot of people don't know that. I know I didn't, and now people hearing this will at least can empathize maybe and say, you know what, Zach was wronged in a certain extent. I'm not saying that Cohen shouldn't have made the decision he made, because I understand that.
Totally.
But as far as you being associated with that negative connotation in the DUI, that's not exactly what happened that particular night. Now, where are you at now in your career? I know you got the Four Rings consulting business going on.
Yeah, so Four Rings is the name of my company I've been doing the last 3.5 years. I consult with sports teams across all sports, just basically trying to help GMs, assistant GMs, solve their biggest challenges in sports operations to, you know, be better, is the best they can be at acquiring players and developing players. And then I also, separately from that, as under Four Rings, do executive leadership coaching for both people in sports and out of sports. I also have a little program for people that are looking to work in sports operations, how to get their foot in the door. It's called the Sports Ops Launchpad, and you can actually check it out at sportsopslaunchpad.com. And you can find me on social media. As you said, I do SNY stuff. I do a little writing for MLB Trade Rumors. But I'm mostly on X and LinkedIn at Zach Scott Sports.
You think you get back into a front office at some point? Is that the goal?
It's not necessarily the goal. I mean, I want to be stable for my family in terms of location. I mean, that's the tough thing about the industry is if you go full-time into a front office, you've got to move again. And we've bounced around to a few different states the last couple of years, and I want my kids to be able to at least get through school before considering. So I've talked to teams about coming back at some capacity. I got to spend the whole year with the Texas Rangers in 23 when they won the World Series, which was really fun to be a part of that.
You get a ring for that?
No.
Oh, otherwise it would have been five rings, I guess.
That's right. I would have changed. That would have been a burden to have to change the company name.
Yeah, right.
But no, that was really fun. That's a good group over there. So, you know, we'll see. I'm open to any opportunities. I'd love to work in another sport. That'd be interesting to do. I've made a lot of contacts in different sports since leaving baseball.
All right, a couple more for you before we let you go. We appreciate your time coming in studio. Zach Scott, former general manager of the Mets. A lot of calls been called. You know, Mets offense has been inconsistent here. Calling up today, fire the hitting coach, fire Chavez. How much does a hitting coach matter? Have you ever had an instance where you had to move on from a hitting coach?
Well, I fired Chili Davis in 2021. You know, for me, I don't like to get caught up in the results. The results were poor when we made that move, but to me it was more about what I was seeing in terms of preparation. I also knew Chili from, he was a hitting coach in Boston, so it wasn't just based on, you know, being around him a couple months. I just thought it wasn't the right fit for our guys in terms of how things were being communicated to them to help them prepare for games. It's hard. You know, it's really about that. It's really what's going on under the surface. You know, if the results are bad, but you think they're doing a lot of things really well and communicating really well to players, you know, it's hard to just blame a hitting coach for that. I don't know Eric Chavez. I do know Jeremy Barnes. I hired Jeremy Barnes as one of our kind of co-farm directors in 21. And he's a very talented guy, very smart guy. Came from the Houston Astros as a hitting coordinator. They did things really well in player development over there. So I'm sure he's really good at what he does. You know, it's really about connecting and helping guys make adjustments. I view a major league coach's job primarily when you have established big leaguers, especially, is to course correct as soon as possible. Like the guys that can do that well, to notice when something's really off, and they can, and you can get them back to who they are at their best as fast as possible. You know, and figuring out the right timing to intervene so you're not always messing with their heads. That's really the key part of coaching in my mind at that level.
You mentioned player development. The Yankees, to me, have an issue with that and have had an issue with that for years. How patient would you be? Do you see a fundamental issue or a structural organizational issue with the Yankees, whether it's Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, Gleyber Torres before them? How patient would you be as a general manager, and do you think that that's the right philosophy to let these guys learn to a certain extent at the big league level?
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing to do is to compete at the major league level and integrate young players, because young players are going to have a learning curve, right? It's going to take most hitters, it takes about 600 plate appearances for them to become who they're going to be. And that's not a fast and true rule for everybody. But, you know, I use Volpe as an example of a guy that I thought was moved a little too quickly. You know, he looked like he was on a path to be an impact player, star player. He's still a good player all around. But maybe not as good as people in the industry thought he would be. After AA, they moved him up to AAA. He wasn't there very long, but you saw a big change in his performance in terms of swing and miss and, you know, just kind of the fundamental things. It looked a little overmatched playing at that level, which can be a big leap because you have more veteran guys in AAA. So, you know, him barely not spending a ton of time there and then getting to the big league seemed a little rushed to me. But you hope the guy's talented enough that they can work with him to figure it out. And sometimes that doesn't happen. And I think, you know, people get really impatient. Fans get impatient sometimes and want to see a young guy up there and feel like teams are either manipulating service time or they're not bringing them up. But a lot of times it's, you know, the big leagues is a big step. And one of the worst things you can do is rush a guy and have him really struggle that he could kind of fall down a hole and not get out of it.
And then you could also make the decision to send him back down. The Mets did that with Alvarez recently. It's year three for Volpe. They haven't done it. Dominguez, same thing. Like, he didn't get a lot of minor league reps. He's up here learning to play left field, struggling from the right side of the plate. The power hasn't been there. Like, at some point, don't you have to make the decision to say maybe it's beneficial to send them down for him and for us?
Yeah, I think you want to have a roster where you have the flexibility to do that. Like, you know, the Mets, some people might think they have almost too many pieces, right? It's hard to find when you're mixing and matching and how you're fitting the pieces together. But at the same time, that is what allows them to have the depth to kind of sit a guy or send a guy down when they need to. Like, they send down an Acuna. Like, you could argue Acuna helps them in other ways. But you know, they have other guys that help them too. And so trying to figure that out, you know, there's depth for guys coming off the bench, and then there's depth for injury protection, or you need guys to play more, or performance protection against the guys that struggle. And so you'd love to have a roster where you have a lot of options.
Yeah, and obviously the Mets have that so much to a fault sometimes with Vientos and or Beatty. Last one for you, Zach. I know you got to go here. Zach Scott, former general manager of the Mets, Four Rings Consulting. You can check him out on social media as well, sometimes on SNY, Baseball Night New York. How hard, put yourself in David Stern's shoes here, negotiating a contract with Pete Alonso? We saw what happened in the offseason. Now we've seen Pete have a big year this year, going to have the all-time Mets home run record for the franchise when all said and done. How difficult would it be to negotiate that type of contract? Cohen on top of you, the fans knowing what he means to the fans, and then you knowing how you would value him as a player.
I think that the biggest disconnect between the fan perspective and a front office perspective is mostly the fans. You know, you kind of celebrate what a guy has accomplished. And a front office perspective is always forward-looking, right? It's always, what are we buying? What performance can we expect reasonably over the term of this contract that we're talking about? And they're not always the same thing. You know, it's a curve, right? Like, it's an aging curve. So he's going to decline. It's inevitable. We don't always know when. There are some things that you can learn from looking at players of his type in terms of the kind of, you know, hitter he is, the size, the position. You know, those guys might not age great, and that's why you might be a little more cautious. We've seen that mostly in the first base market, although Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s contract, how does that change things? So it's hard, and I think Stern's handled it well in the past off season. I don't expect it to be, you know, he's had a, you know, I think he was on a pace to have an outstanding year. He's still going to have a very good year. He's fallen off a little bit in the last month or so, but you know, I don't know if he'll change the approach. I probably wouldn't. I'd probably, you know, play hardball. But again, it's another Scott Boras client, and Scott's going to be pointing to the Vlad contract, even though there's apples to oranges in terms of age. But he should do that. I don't blame him for doing that and saying, well, you know, has this changed the market?
You'd invest in Pete long term, though? You yourself?
I wouldn't go too long. You know, he's another year older. I just see, you know, a lot of teams will give out contracts to guys till they're, you know, 38 years old. And I just think, you know, he doesn't have anywhere to go other than DH as he slows down. I'm okay with that for middle of the field players, typically. Less excited about that for corner guys, because especially the right side of the infield, there's just not a whole lot of flexibility there. And you start paying a guy 25, 30 million a year or whatever it may be, when he's 34 and beyond, could hurt your flexibility. I know it sounds laughable to say that Steve Cohen's Mets have flexibility issues, but, you know, that's a slippery slope. You could very easily, if you take, you know, that mentality with every player, oh, it's okay, we got money, we can overpay.
You guys with the Red Sox for years kind of got ahead of this stuff too with the superstar. Even though the fans love the player, you wouldn't be afraid to move on from it. I thought it was beneficial to the organization.
Sometimes. Yeah. I wish we kept Mookie.
Well, now, that's a bad one. I mean,
that was one at the time I thought most of us in baseball wanted to keep him, because he was, you know, it's a discomfort with the general concept of, you know, mega contracts, right? It's like, well, these don't age well. Well, he's a position player. He's someone we know better than anyone. And he's one of the two best players in the league at the time. And if there's anyone we're going to ever want to invest in and feel comfortable doing it, it's this guy. So either you're in on those types of contracts and you're not, and I think we weren't at the time, but then you see they give a 300-plus to Devers.
Last one real quick. You think the Yankees need a change at manager?
Oof.
Would you?
I mean, it's always hard to not – it's easy to say get rid of someone without knowing what the alternatives are, and I think that's true of GMs and managers, because you're probably bringing in someone with less experience typically – especially in New York. So, you know, but at some point, some of the things I'm seeing fundamentally and some of the patterns of them kind of falling apart at times says to me, maybe it's time for a change of voice. Not that it means anything negative about Booney, but, like, you know, we had a change with Terry Francona, who's obviously a Hall of Fame manager. And it's sometimes it's just, it's getting tuned out, and you need a different voice.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that if they fire him, that it would solve the problems, but I certainly understand that perspective. I mean, they got some deep-rooted issues. Zach, we know you got to run. We appreciate your time. Check him out on social media at Zach Scott Sports. Also, the consulting group there, Four Rings Consulting Group. Best of luck moving forward. I'll see you over at SNY, I'm sure, soon. You can check him out also on Baseball Night New York on occasion. Zach Scott, former general manager of the Mets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.